Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God has been good once
again to all of us. Let me just ask a quick question this morning, or make a quick statement. If God has been good to you, you ought to say so.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
You ought to say, either look at your neighbor or say within yourself, thank you, Lord. And I know He has done something good for you, because that breath that you just inhaled and exhaled, He gave it to you. It was His breath to give. So this morning, we all ought to be eternally grateful for what God has already done for us. Not only what He shall do for us, providing He allows us to keep living and breathing.
Amen.
This morning, for a little while, we want to talk from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In particular, verses number 3 and verse number 4. And we're going to talk about the old gospel for new times. The old gospel for new times. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord, because You didn't have to keep us here, but You have. We thank You, O Lord, for keeping us here just one more day, giving us one more opportunity to serve Thee, O Lord. We thank You, Father, that the doors of Your church house are still opening on the hinges of welcome, and we all can be accepted into Your church, O Lord. We thank You this morning, Father, because You have blessed us and given us food, shelter, and clothing. You have even given us a warmer weather day. Thank You, Lord, from the sub-zero temperatures that You gave us on this past week to the beginning of a new week. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for those who are members of the body, and we thank You for their families and all of those who are here this morning. We thank You and we pray for those who are sick and shut in, that they may be healed, that they may soon come forward and come forth once again. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You for the brothers who have thus taken part in the services, and thank You for those who shall come from this point on. Thank You, O Lord, for the leaders of this congregation as well as their families, and thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in here. Thank You, Lord, for this day, as it is opening and unfolding in our lives. Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray and continue to ask You to bless them and give them strength to carry on. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are just without, O Lord, and it's tough to be without in these times, but You are able to provide for us, and we thank You for that. We thank You, Father, for everything You do for us, especially when You sent Jesus down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we might have an opportunity to life. Thank You, Father, for everything. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we say and ask it all. Amen. The term gospel means the good news. And many claim to know the gospel. Some preach what they call the gospel, but that does not make it the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only gospel we as Christians should be concerned for and about. No matter how many changes man comes up with, he can never change the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is and shall always be the one that never changes. Man never produced the gospel of Christ. Therefore, he has no power to change it. When we think of the gospel, we should think of Jesus Christ. Let us look at our text for a moment as we reread them. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. I think we are pretty much at those times right now. I think there are many who are preaching a gospel, but not the gospel. I think there are some who would teach the gospel of themselves if they possibly could. But nevertheless, we as Christians know that there is but one gospel, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the same today as He was on yesterday. The God we preach is about the person of Jesus Christ, of whom the Corinthian letter speaks of in chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul suggested to the people of that day that it was the same gospel that he learned and that he was taught. In particular, in verse number 3 there, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." The preacher preached what was taught and preached unto him. It should be the same today, not a different gospel. We must teach the gospel as it was taught back in the days of old. The gospel is still the same. Some say we need a new gospel. Some say we need a new gospel because we are not keeping up with today's standards. People are not back in those days, some might say. But perhaps it's time that the standards be revived to meet the gospel, since it is not going anywhere. It is the gospel that Acts 4:12 described as, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is no other gospel, and that's the gospel truth. There is no reason for another gospel. If it worked then to save, it still works today. The preacher once wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, around verse number 9, he said, "There's no new thing under the sun," and that speaks well for the gospel. For the gospel is the same today as it was on yesterday. And this certainly appears that the gospel of Christ is the one that he is talking about, Paul is speaking of. We must get one on board with the old in order to be saved in these new times. In these new times, it's not necessary to have a new gospel. It's necessary that we obey the old gospel. And not first, but entirely, we obey the old gospel. The power of the gospel is still the same. Today, everybody is looking for power. We take power walks. We do power lunches. We do power workouts. We want more power in our cars. We want more power in our machinery. We want more power in our weapons. We want more power than the armies of the world. And certainly we want more power in money. But most of all, there is power in the blood of Jesus. In our text of today, we are given a look at how His power can corrupt and cause us to forget where the real power lies. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, look what it says. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth," in verse number 4, "and shall be turned into fables." So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that they won't endure or hear the sound gospel that's taught from days of old until now, the days of new. We don't need a new gospel. We don't need a new gospel. This tells me that men can never make changes to the gospel and expect them to be the gospel of Christ. The truths of the Word of God is just as powerful today as it was back during biblical times. The truth is still the only right way to go. All the power that man thinks he has, all the power that man wants to have, in money, in machines, in weapons, in automobiles, none of it is as powerful as the gospel of Jesus Christ. If one could put all these powers together, they still, all this power still cannot and will not save a lost soul. It cannot cause a dead person to live and suddenly cannot give peace. But man with his power struck images of things, of how much power he really has. And some of us, we've got to learn to understand that no matter what power we perceive that we can have, we still can't be more powerful than Jesus Christ. Nothing but Jesus Christ can give the things that can give us what we need to save our souls. And through that power God has given him, through the power that God has given him, he has all power in heaven and in earth. He said it in Matthew 28 in verse number 18. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And then in verse number 19, he instructed his disciples, he said, go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I tell you something, church. There's nothing like the old gospel. There is nothing like the old gospel. And we can make changes if we want to, but it still doesn't mean it's right. When we think about it, look at the text once again. For the time will come, and the time is there, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. The ones who teach us, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Oh yes, they are already on the scene. Right now, they are teaching things that just are not in God's Bible, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are teaching things like, this is new and we should honor this and honor that. And nothing is new under the sun. The Old Testament told us that. But nevertheless, we've got to learn to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel, somebody want to know, does the gospel have any purpose? Yes, the gospel has a purpose. Romans 1:16, Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also the Greek. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying that gospel has power of God unto salvation. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. You know, we serve in what is called the Church of Christ. We serve in the church that Jesus went to the cross, hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have an opportunity to serve in His church. You know something? Some of us still don't understand and are not treating the gospel the way it should be treated. We're not treating the gospel the way it should be treated. We're not honoring the one who gave us life and who freed us from the bondage of sin. The purpose of the gospel is it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of old will save us today. It doesn't need any enhancement. There's no tweaking needed. And certainly not any of man's interventions are needed. All we need to do is to allow the power and purpose to work within us. Somebody said, well, just tell me what the power and the purpose, what do you mean by the power and the purpose to work within us? Well, in Romans chapter 6, the verses number 3 and verse number 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into His death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. If you walk in the newness of life, that means you might have to forget a few of your old walks. That means you might have to forget about some of the old things you used to do. That means you might have to live a new life. That means that you are living for Jesus Christ now. So when you think about it, the only way one can be saved today is the same way that they were saved in biblical times. We must be baptized, buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. Look at the text again in verse number 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into unto fables. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that there are those who would pervert the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. And they are doing it right now today. They are telling us things like, it doesn't have to be just like the Bible says it has to be. But I tell you, it must be the way the Bible says it ought to be. And that's the gospel truth. When I think about it, and I look at the world from my vantage point, and from your vantage point, because we're all humans trying to make it into the gates of heaven. And we won't make it without Jesus Christ. We can't make it without Jesus Christ. If man could, he would build a heaven that he could scale and walk to. He would build a heaven and then he would lock certain people out of heaven. But thank God that he doesn't have the power to put me in heaven or to keep me out of heaven. Isn't that right, church? When I think about it, God is good unto us. God is good unto us all the time. And if his gospel worked back then, it still will work today. The old gospel is what's needed for these new times. Nothing more, nothing less. If we care about our souls, and we care about where our souls are headed to, we need to seek out and get to know Jesus right now, this very day. To crush Satan's hold on our lives is what the gospel of Jesus will do. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to be able to trust in him until we understand his gospel even better. We never understand his gospel until we can come to know him as our Savior. And I say to you, what a beautiful day it would be if all of the people would just believe on Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, we have a life that we must continue to live, and we can live it with Jesus or we can live it without Jesus. Now the choice is ours. If you live it with Jesus, you got an opportunity and a much better chance to get into heaven. If you live it without Jesus, you don't have a chance to get into heaven. So when you think about it, flip over with me, if you will, to John, in John chapter 14. And I just want to show you what I'm talking about. In John 14, the Bible says, starting at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But this is the part I want you to start noticing especially. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I like this part. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, didn't I tell you he was preparing a place for us? A place that we can get into? He's speaking of heaven where his Father and he lives at today. And look at verse number 4. And whether I go, ye know and the way ye know. God, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And that place is heaven. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful day when Jesus presents himself to his believers. Those who have been washed in his blood and buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. What a place heaven will be for those who can get there. Do you want to know a little bit about the place of heaven? Well, I'll tell you this much. It is not a fictitious place. It is a real place. It is a place that's beyond what we can see from here on earth. It is a place that God lives in. It is a place that Jesus sits on his right hand. It is a place where we can live forever and ever. We can live eternally in heaven, where there will be no more troubles and no more tears and no more sorrow. Just goodness all the time. And we can sing and shout around the throne of grace and mercy. Isn't it wonderful that God will allow us to get to that place if we live right on earth? Now, if you're not living right, your chances are not that great. But if you're living right, your chances are much better of getting there. So, if I want you to live right, preacher, how should I live? Well, you should live according to the Bible. You should obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live according to the Bible. Now, what does living according to the Bible mean? Living according to the Bible simply means you do the will and be obedient to the Word of God. When I think about it, living like God wants us to live is not really that hard. It may have a level of difficulty, but it's not that hard. That means living by His Word, obeying His commands, and doing His will. Now, some of you might say, well, I tried it and I got bored when I used to go to church with some of the people. Well, it's going to be much more boring than that if you keep living the way you're living. It's not going to be any excitement in hell. You must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to live with Him forever. You must be buried with Him. How do I get there? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. You are buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. How, preacher, can I live with Him or obey His will and obey the gospel if I obeyed it many, many years ago, but somewhere I walked astray? Well, you come back, you ask the church to pray for you, ask God to forgive you, then ask the church to pray for you. And living a Christian life may not be the most exciting life you can live, but it's the best step, the best you can do if you want to get to heaven. It's the best, the very best. God gave us His very best when He sent Jesus Christ down to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder cross. And you know, some of us never mention the name of Jesus to anybody. We never say how good Jesus is to us. And I know He's good to you because you're still here. And no matter how sick you may be, yeah. No matter how broke you may be,
yeah.
No matter how depressed you may be,
yeah.
No matter what state you're in, remember what Paul said, I've learned to be content with whatsoever state I'm in.
Right.
So we've got to learn that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be content and we can live a righteous life. So if you have made up your decision to serve God and to be a righteous person, you have this opportunity as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 272.